Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, I had a hand procedure today. We'll get into the trials and tribulations of how my hands are failing me. We'll get into the NBA All-Stars and dunk competition and all that. Talk Porsche as well. New Porsche's out. Discuss that with you. I'll give you my takes. First, I'll tell you about Pepsi. Ah, new year, finally here, everyone. Everyone made their restrictive resolutions. I did the same thing. But Pepsi's here to tell you they want to usher in a new decade where you're a little different. Encourage everyone to do what they enjoy. Be unapologetic about it. I like watching some games on a Sunday with the guys, and I do it. I give myself a little break. I work hard during the week, but I give myself a little chance to unwind during the weekend or at a UFC fight or maybe driving one of my race cars where everything just melts away. Pepsi. Pepsi's given you the license to crack a Pepsi, enjoy that, appreciate life, and work hard during the week, but on the weekend, do what you like. Pepsi, that's what I like.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from the band, Robbie Robertson. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dave Damashek is here for good sports. And now, celebrating President's Day by being old, rich, and white. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Any mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I'm in love when you share the show, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Oh, no, my drop on away.
Okay, now the fun begins.
There it is.
Well, we have some friends and family of Ernest Lee Bigot coming up. You guys have been tweeting in a lot of those, so we got those to cover. I have a hell of a nice audio slip up. You know, the ones where the news anchors are dropping the N-bomb
right.
or screwing up.
But he's gay. I mean, he's blind.
Right, right. There's one. I think I grabbed one from the Daytona 500 that I do not believe. Don't bother looking at it. It's filming sideways. I don't believe that it's been picked up anywhere. I don't know. You can look around, Kalen, but I don't think it's made that. I'll tease that for a second. Who was in the booth? Yeah, we got to figure out who was in the booth. It wasn't Earnhardt Jr.
It was Ernest.
Ernest
Lee.
The driver in the booth was the Rainbow Warrior car. God damn it! Can't think of his name. Anyway, I'll tell you about that in a second.
You get some handwork done?
Oh, yeah. I got some handwork done.
Oh, just tell me you punched out a window. Yeah.
No.
How's the other guy look?
Saving a baby.
You know, it's funny that I was getting shots and you know, it hurt. And the guy was saying, sorry. And I said to him, you don't have to say sorry. I have a context here. Like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're a surgeon, hand surgeon. I went in this morning to... I have a condition with my hands where they're... bent and I can't straighten out my pinky, and I'm having trouble straightening out my ring finger, and things are swollen. And
is it the same thing John Elway's always talking about? I see him on commercials. Elway's on commercials with the fingers. You know what I mean? He can't straighten his fingers. It's got to be
the disease,
right?
That I have. And what's it called?
It's Dupendron's.
It's yeah. All right, I always forget the name of it. But the disease that I the syndrome that I have is Dupendron's,
yeah.
And it's something that Drew talked to you about. And it affects guys, and it just bends their pinky. Pinky starts pulling in toward your palm, and then you can't straighten it. You can't straighten it out.
Kalen, find out why.
And now, some of the NFL guys have just busted fingers.
Yeah.
And so some of their fingers just wag around in like different directions.
Brian Baldinger with his finger going sideways.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, I was when we were playing Cincy in the 80s and I had my finger busted off. And like, and that's just, those are war wounds.
Because
and then there's this. This is hereditary. Because it's funny, I'm sitting with the guy and I got these, The under your knuckle on your pinky gets all swollen up and it starts pulling stuff up. And then if you open your palm, there's lumps in your palm and it's pulling your hand in. So the way they deal with it is they shoot it up. They find the lump, the heart of the lump, and they shoot it with an injection of material that will break up the lump, mm-hmm. like try to dissolve the lump. And then you'll go back in 2 days, and they'll try to bend your hand back. Ooh. So we got that going for us.
You got a viral video coming from the Adam Carolla Show.
I was just sitting there, and the guy was shooting up my hand. And it was funny, because he goes, how are your feet? And I said, my feet are fine. And he said, oh, because this usually affects people's feet as well. And it usually comes on when people are a little bit older, but it's a hereditary thing. And I said, well, this is a weird thing because I don't know if it's hereditary because my dad's never used his hands.
So yeah,
it's
like, wouldn't I know the difference.
He travels in oven mitts that are filled with Vaseline.
Yeah, hard
like,
to tell.
He's like a hand model minus the work
right.
of hand modeling. Mm-hmm. But that's how he...
He's getting ready.
You know what he did? He treats his life like if you ever watch MASH, after somebody scrubs in for surgery,
hold
the hands up. And just, he walked room to room with his hands. I'd go, Dad, could you put up a basketball hoop? And he'd show me the hands. You
I would
know
say
I mean?
He's preparing for a second career, but really it's a first career.
Right. So my dad's never used his hands, so I don't know. I told the guy I did a lot of construction, I did a lot of boxing, right. and I did a lot of boxing coaching where I was holding the mitts constantly and guys were punching my hands. So just repeated blunt force trauma. And he's like, yeah, so your feet? And I'm like, no, my feet were fine because my feet were just holding me up while I was training guys to box.
Yeah.
But my hands got it all. So even though it's hereditary, neither one of my parents has it, but they've never left the house,
well,
so I don't know.
They've also never stood up.
Right.
So how would they know if their feet are hurting?
And then I've been doing stuff with my hands my whole life, so maybe it came on earlier for me.
So Elway had revealed in April of last year that he has, what, Dupuytren's?
Yeah, my mom has it, too.
Yeah. I've seen the commercials for it. He's, you know, he's on a surgical way to, you know, get your, he's got his finger going like yours, you know what I mean?
I was about to jump in with all the greats, and then Sheena said, my mom does it, too.
Yeah.
She can't make her Pillsbury popovers anymore.
And you know what? You know who doesn't
She's
bitch?
She's a college standout.
You know who doesn't bitch about injections? My mother.
That's
right.
Let's
get my shots, no big deal.
So I'm getting the shots, and he's trying to straighten it out, and we're sitting there. And I'm looking up at the...
A hammer comes out.
The golf. He's shooting my... They squirt the area with frozen water, basically, first. Numb it up. And then they put this big bore syringe in there. And they're trying to bust it up. And it's like... It's uncomfortable. But that's no big deal. And the uncomfortable part, the poor guy's going, sorry. And it's like, I understand.
Yeah.
So
move on.
I'm looking up at all these golf pictures he has, and he has Pebble Beach. And I said, do you golf at Pebble Beach? And he's like, I've never been there. I want to go. I said, I go down there and do a race every year. And then he goes, well, the other room's a race car room. We got pictures of race cars. And I said,
things he's not into. Every room's
right.
the theme.
Yeah. One's dedicated to his wife.
Yeah.
The other to his kids. So he's telling me, so when people talk to me about their cars, I'm always prepared to be underwhelmed.
By what they know?
By what they know and by what they're into.
What they have.
You know what I mean? Like, it's rarely something interesting. Mm. It's always something that is... It's never something that's off the beaten path. It's always like, I'm a Mopar guy, or I got a 67 Mustang. And whatever... They are talking about, they go like, then there's the pickup truck guys. Like, oh, my dad had a Ford F-100 step side, 1966, three on the tree, you know, and all I'm doing is thinking, if anyone has $6,000 lying around and the use of their phone, they can have one tomorrow. Like, there's nothing interesting or special. Now, I don't want to be a snob. Because I'm sounding like a snob.
That's exactly what's going on.
Right. It's really not about money. There's certain cars, like if someone said they had a Lotus Cortina or a Datsun 510, they're a little more nuanced. They're more interesting. It's not they're super expensive, but it just means you're a little more interesting. It's sort of like...
specific.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if someone goes, I like music, and then they go, I like the Bee Gees or something. And you go, yeah, okay, everyone likes the Bee Gees. Right. Like, it's not interesting.
Big Eagles fan.
Pull me a deeper cut.
Sure.
I want something a little more interesting to let me know you're a little more into music.
Yeah.
So
show me a Pontiac Aztec.
Yeah, so the guy goes, Yeah, there's a picture of a California 250, and I'm like, yeah, Pontiac, you know, Judge, you know, it's always this stupid, it's GTO, 1966. He goes, Ferrari 250, California, 1962. And I go, oh, well, that's a rare and interesting piece.
He's talking like, about Goodyear.
Yeah, there's a big picture of it over there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, that's a really expensive car. That's a really rare multi-million dollar car. And he goes, yeah, I'm like, guy I share the office with he works on backs. And he had a guy, local guy, big collector, and his back was all screwed up, and he couldn't even get in his car. So, you know, my partner, he did a fusion surgery, whatever, and he repaired the guy's back. And the guy was so grateful that he said, you know, come to my garage and pick out any car you want.
Wow.
And so my partner down the hall there, he went to the 250. And I'm like,
smart move.
Hold on. I know one sold for $11 million in like 08.
Right. And even if you got the junior version, that's a pretty good investment.
When's the last?
That was in 2008, but it was a 1961 Ferrari, okay. 250, and it sold for, yeah, $11,070,000.
Okay. I was saying, well, hold on. That's a $20 million car, or 15, or 7. It's a $17 million car. And he's like, yeah.
The guy's really happy with his back.
Yeah, it is. And I'm like, what?
Was he dropping hints?
I don't know. I said to him, like, well, what? Wait. And then I'm thinking, all right, he must have done his back in 1977 or something. It's like, I said, when did he do the back surgery? He's like, 04.
Oh, my.
Like, well, then it was just... Look, one sold for 11 in 08. It wasn't worth, it was worth 6 million, 5 million, 7 million. He just brought this guy over and he pointed at the $7 million car and went all.
Wrap it up.
Wow.
Was there more to the story? Because this sounds fishy.
He said,
amazing.
The only rule was he had to drive it for 10 years. Or have it for 10 years. You couldn't just flip it.
No problem.
And, you know, it's been 10 Jesus. Years plus. Guy still has the car. But, I mean...
It's Twilight Zone-esque.
It is... When the guy does sell the car, or if, or whatever, it's $20 million.
Good for him, vehicle. Man. That's fucking retirement.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
He was dropping hints for sure. Anyway, yeah. this hand thing is going to be a real bear.
Hey, boy, am I a Newman fan.
Anyway, yeah, no, you see the Hustler?
No, I literally said, now, look, if you fix my hand, I'm giving Adam Carolla a show mug or beer koozie. There's not going to be any Newman cars. I also had a... Who was in the booth for the... For the 500, for the Daytona 500.
It was Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon.
It was Jeff Gordon. Okay. I'll play you the clip. So Jeff Gordon is in the booth, and he's calling out the race car drivers, and there's a fellow by the name of Clint Bowyer, and we'll see how that worked out.
So there are the dropback cars. Also include Alex Bowman and Bubba Wallace there.
Well, the one sort of surprises me is Clint Bowyer. You know, he was already starting.
Said Cunt Bowyer.
Oh, I hear that.
I got to hear that again.
Well, I said Clint before, so you probably
sweetened
fixed
the pot,
it. But he said Cunt Bowyer. You can play it again.
They're not fans.
So there are the dropback cars. Also include Alex Bowman and Bubba Wallace there.
Well, the one sort of surprises me is Clint Bowyer.
He doesn't like him.
Pretty clear when you put it that way.
He said Cunt Bowyer. And I was just watching the 500. I was really on point because there's a whole bunch of things. A, I was watching the Daytona 500. B, I was listening for the word cunt. And C, when I went to film my camera, I turned it sideways and then the whole thing turned over. So this is perfectly on point for me. So now, for those, now picture this. So he says Cunt Bowyer, but he's a NASCAR guy. This is a white-on-white crime, right. And Cunt Bowyer is a straight guy who drives for NASCAR, who's Clint Bowyer. What if it was a female? What if they were black? What if there were? What if there's anything? Danica Patrick.
A lot of dignitaries in attendance there. It's Cuntaliza Rice.
Right. I'm saying,
Jeff, no.
For next time, everyone goes all fucking haywire because someone said something, and that's a woman, or that guy's gay, or that person's black, or whatever it is. Factor in people screw up just because
for no reason.
Yep. Now, if that was a if that was a chick if that was like a chick driver in the field.
Oof,
now
bad news.
Here's the real question.
Dana Cutpatrick.
Was there
for example.
Brian, come on.
Was there any bad blood between Clint Boyer and Jeff? Was there any, you know, did he put him in the wall at Talladega in 2011 or something?
Scrap.
Yeah, because that will happen. And if that did, then maybe there's some little psychological thing. Because, see,
stowed away.
Some of it is your, there's history.
I am seeing Clint Boyer and Jeff Gordon fight.
Oh! I've never felt gloves better about myself. That'll fight. All right, so now here's what happens.
I need to see the fight.
You call him Cunt Boyer when you're in your race trailer to your team.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You go, yep. Did you see what Cunt Boyer did on the third lap? Right, and you say it too many times. And then you come in. This is sort of the argument of when people do N-bombs and stuff like that. Yeah. They go, it was a mistake, but what were you thinking?
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
What did you say?
How many times is that in your,
yeah, exactly.
Right,
your
right.
lexicon?
So I didn't even know about this one. So Clint Boyer got into a fight with Jeff Gordon, and now he calls him Clint Boyer.
That's real good.
You know what I was thinking about? What do you do when you're sitting next to him? And you hear Cunt Boyer.
Mm-hmm.
Keep moving.
Right. Hope that no prominent podcast host taking a video of it makes the thing out of it.
All right. So what was the fight now?
I'm still looking into it.
Okay. You look into that. I'll change gears here for a second. Let me say this. I live in a neighborhood that has a horse trail that goes around it.
Rich man, poor man.
No,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's there's a horse trail, and it's like zoned for horses. There's a few areas, right? There's a place 3/4 mile from here where people have like horses in their yards and stuff like that. It's kind of cool. The people who ride the horses let the horses shit wherever they want, and if it's on the horse trail, it's kind of a pain in the ass when you're walking your dog because there's this huge pile of flop on the horse trail, but they get off the horse trail. Wow. They get onto the street. And when I was driving out today, I just saw a huge pile of horse flop in front of my neighbor's driveway. Like, it was where the driveway hit the street, and it was right in the middle of where the driveway was.
And it's substantial.
And it's substantial. And I think to myself, I know there's an unwritten rule, which is you don't have to pick up horse shit. But you do have to pick up dog shit.
Yeah.
We don't have to get off your dog.
If you're walking your schnauzer and that same dog shits on the same neighbor's lawn, then you're 100% responsible. Get that. If you're on a horse, you don't have to. And I was starting to think about, why is this? Like, how does this work? Because there's a mountain of shit in front of this person's driveway.
Well, speaking of mountain, it's got to have something to do with the mounting and dismounting of said horse. That's kind of a pain in the ass, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, it's an excuse,
everything's a pain in the ass. Like, I hate picking up Phil's shit with the plastic bag and carrying it to whatever, but that's my dog, and that's his duty, and therefore it becomes my duty. So, what do we do? Well, I was thinking about it. A, when you're riding something, I think you know when they're shitting. I feel like if someone was on top of me and I was taking a shit.
Sounds reasonable.
They should know.
Yeah.
They would know. They would know. Now, I'm not the same as a horse.
Yeah.
But I feel like anything you're riding, you pretty much know when it's shitting.
Have you been horseback riding?
I have.
I don't mean to shit on your point, but being from Kansas, I've done it a few times. It's hard to tell.
Well,
I mean, they don't stop or squat or anything.
They just keep on moving.
Do
they grunt?
Do they feel anything? Any movement in the abdomen or anything?
I've never noticed.
Now we got to find out if you can feel when a horse is shitting. I bet you know. I bet you know your horse is shitting. They're just walking through the neighborhood. So
yeah, but if you're an experienced enough horse rider, you can tell the difference in the gait.
But they don't stop to do it. They're just walking and shitting.
Yeah, well, they definitely walk and shit. I'm just trying to feel if you're riding the horse, you got to be very in tune with the horse. That's your horse. Yeah. And if you feel that contraction or that whatever of the abdomen.
Whoa.
Anyway, my point is this.
He opens the paper.
You should be responsible for your own horse's shit. And then this. Your horse could shit, but you got to circle back with like a 5-gallon bucket and a snow shovel and take care of it that afternoon.
Yeah.
Number one. But then I started thinking about the dynamic because there's something going on. It's more than this is a horse. I don't have to pick up this shit. It's more of when you're on a horse, mm-hmm. they call it a high horse. You know, mm-hmm. you're up on your high horse. When you're on a horse, you're right.
Nah.
Most of the time. Cops on a horse, mm. you know, pour that beer out. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that you're the voice of authority. Mm. Every statue of every general's on a, mm-hmm. on a horse.
That's right.
And then I was thinking about it. I bet you, if you just did this experiment, you took a guy who just was a lower-level subway employee. He's 19-year-old dude. He puts the big plastic gloves on. He asks you if you want the... if you want the
pepperoncinis
or not, and you're Sam's, that guy, and you took him and you put him on a horse, and then you took
like a Lord of the Flies situation.
And then you took like Neil deGrasse Tyson, you had him stand next to the horse. I bet Neil deGrasse would take orders from that guy.
Yep.
I bet that guy would get listen, whatever you're thinking about, what's going on in the solar system, you're wrong, bucko. Yeah.
Earth's flat.
Yeah, whatever. I just when you're on the horse, you're kind of right. Like, if someone ever pulls up to you and you're walking and they're on their horse, they're just better than you are.
Right.
Yeah.
They're on their high horse.
They just know something you don't know.
Sure.
There's something better about their life and whatever. And I think that has to... I think if I rode a horse and Phil was on the back of the horse and the dog shit off the horse, I wouldn't have to pick it up because I'm right.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know that this exists, but it must. There must be, like, horse... poop catchers that you can attach to its back like
a
saddle.
They do. They have them in the circus and the, you know, stuff like that when they used to have animals in the
just
circus.
Dump all over the, whatever.
Oh, yeah. If you go to the Central Park carriage thing,
right?
Those horses have the...
Oh, they do?
Like a bucket diaper.
Yeah, because you couldn't have 100 horses going through Central Park. It's like dropping. The city probably said you got to hang a canvas sack off the back. All right. You know, it's kind of nice, actually, with horses, because horses have a feed bucket on the front and then a shit bucket in the back. Oh, what other animal gets two buckets?
They're their own human centipede. Yeah.
That's a two-bucket animal right there.
Everything they need.
Most animals get... I don't even have one bucket. I don't have a toilet. I have to go visit it. But
you had a decorative popcorn tin, though. You did have it.
But I wasn't... I rarely used the bungee cord when I was leaving the house.
Belted it.
Yeah, I belted three or four occasions.
And if you did, you had to do it yourself.
Yeah. I had a few long walks. A few times I had too much Sanka before I left the house, but for the most part,
to watch The Godfather, you're like, I'm not getting up.
Yeah, they got the bucket. You got the feed bucket in the front. You got the back bucket in the rear. Yeah. So in 2012 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, two laps left in the race, Clint Bowyer crashes into Jeff Gordon.
Ooh.
Fight, and a fight ensues.
Well, that's a crash right here.
So
coming up on him.
There's
turning Clint Bowyer in.
Oh, God.
Collecting Joey Logano. Caution flag is out.
So,
it's a pilot.
Bad crash. And then there was a fist fight afterward.
Yep, here it is.
Right there.
And there's Jeff Gordon's out of his car.
Years worth of frustration.
He's disgusted.
Conflict. The crews are in it.
Wow, the crews are fighting. Oh, there's no love lost between these two NASCAR warriors.
Somewhere in the middle of that is Jeff Gordon.
The tire towers are going over.
Oh, well, so maybe there is a little cunt Bowyer history.
So it looks like Boyer's team was the first one to pounce on Gordon. And then afterwards, while the fight was going on, Bauer climbed out of his wreck and sprinted towards the scuffle to try and get in on it.
Wow, the team attacked Jeff Gordon.
Damn.
That's a history.
Now you got to wonder about the cunt.
How many times was that said, like you said, in the locker room?
Well, let me just hear cunt Bowyer one more time. This is what happens. And look, it's the problem, like, when you do terrestrial radio and you cuss all the time.
Yeah.
Just getting used to saying S this and F that, because you can't toggle back and forth. You'll say it. Sorry. One more time.
Foreman and Bubba Wallace there. But what sort of surprises me is Clint Bowyer. he was already starting.
Not an accident.
He must have called him cunt the whole...
A thousand times.
They had a big Donnybrook in the infield. Then they all went back to their trailers. Like, fuck that cunt Bowyer. They're drinking some Miller Lights.
That's real good.
All right. Well, that's why I get the big bucks.
Unearthed.
All right. So let's see. What else did I write down here?
Ernest.
Oh, we got Ernest.
And I think Brian and I may have a couple submissions as well.
We have another...
No.
Oh, you know, well, from Twitter we have a few, and I found a couple as well.
I have a, I have a thought, which is... you know what I always say? So my son came in, and it was all up in the dunk competition. And, oh, man, oh, the one guy... He jumped over Taco, who's Taco's like 7'6" or something like that. And he's just kind of, I don't know, my son loves him because his name's Taco, or he's, there's an obsession with height when you're young, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's 7'6", you know. And he jumped over him. You know, he's going nuts. And then you watch the dunk competition, and it's now all distilled down to them jumping over things, jumping over people and over stuff.
And,
it used to be you just went out there yourself and did a dunk. Now you got to go over a tall guy or
props,
over a rapper
or
whatever it is.
Props.
Right. Yeah. And my son's kind of going nuts. And then I thought, you know, the, you know how I said, like, we're all wired for if anyone can dance, we love it on some sort of visceral level. And that's my sort of Michael Jackson. Like, oh, he's a horrible pedophile. But that guy could move. You know, it's like it's something weird on us. Vertical is that. When a guy is a crazy vertical, it's kind of a weird thing to think about. But maybe in dancing to this degree, too, we may love basically touched by God. Because your vertical is touched by God.
You can work on it a little bit and get a couple extra inches, but if you have that vertical, then you're just pulling this earth to jump.
Superhuman.
The vertical is super touched by God. And the other thing we're obsessed with is speed. And that's super touched by God, too. There's just two things.
Right.
You can work on anything all you want, but you'll never be as fast as a fast guy. And it's sort of, in a way, we have that with models, too. Like, touched by God. You didn't do anything. You're 19. Boom. Like there you are. But we have this crazy obsession with it. And maybe it's the fact that they didn't really, that it wasn't them. That it seemed like God picks out, you know, 1% of people who can do a 38 inch and above vertical and 1% of chicks that are going to be a 9+ and 1% of guys who can run a 4.440 and 1% of guys who can really dance in that kind of way. Like maybe we like the God part of it. Is that what we're responding to? Because just being able to jump shouldn't really inspire, you know, more so than someone who plays a concert-level cello.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's work. So that's not touched by God.
This is off the top of my head. Like you said, the concert-level, you know, cellist, like, works for what we assume is their entire life to get to this point. And not that it's not work to, like, work on your vertical leap or your, you know, whatever. But that's like, if something seems effortless to us, that's impressive, right?
Well, effortless is touched by God.
Right.
You just do it. You know what I mean? Like the super hard-working part, we admire, but we're not impressed like 8 seconds of killer dancing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're just.
Yeah, it tickles in a part of our brain.
Yeah, right. It's like when someone goes, I speak 7 languages. You go, well, there you go. Do you see that guy jumping? He's 14 and he can dunk.
Yeah.
So I know you speak a bunch of languages, but that guy could dunk when he's in the 8th grade. So
that's right.
I'm going to go be impressed by him.
Yeah, because there's like those are special effects. You know, that's superhero stuff.
But I'm trying to think.
They look like special
if
effects.
If it is a touch by God, like if it is a reason why we're so impressed is because.
We could never have it no matter how hard we worked.
Well, Bill Gates can't help his vertical with all his money and all his power and all his brains. He couldn't shave 1/10 off his 40 time. With everything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
All
you just
his resources,
can't, whatever. Yeah. And you know, the an unattractive woman who's running a Fortune 500 company and has the most success in the world cannot be the belle of the ball. She can't walk into a diner and have people turn and look at her.
Sorry. Well, similar to like your thoughts on like DJing or electronic music, like you feel like, oh, I could do that given enough time and, you know, just mastery of the equipment versus like, you know, when I don't know, Adele or whoever, you know, Idina Menzel goes up there, just belts it out. You're like, well, they clearly worked at it and developed their talent, but that's something I could never do.
Touched by God. Mm. Touched by God. No, you're right. You know, Whitney Houston was touched. Now, Whitney Houston was touched by God aesthetically. And from a voice standpoint, the reason we worship at the altar when she was at the height of her powers is because she had two in the touch by God.
She's perfect.
Right. Times two. Yeah. I've been cursed with this hand condition. She was touch. I can't touch. My fingers are bent and paralyzed. I didn't start this old Asiatic war. Yes. What? You got...
Apparently, so if you write out the name Clint in all caps, then it looks very similar to cunt.
Thank you for
and
that.
Apparently, that is a very big problem.
Where's my
Clint of the
cap?
World.
So do you think that was also a closed captioning issue for the watcher at home?
Cunt Eastwood.
Yeah. Like
Cunt Howard.
Yeah, what if Clint Howard was in NASCAR? Do you think that Jeff Gordon would call him cunt? Anyway.
I'm very confused. Warren Beatty and Ezel's best picture next year.
All I was hoping when I was watching is I wish NASCAR Hall of Famer Dick Trickle was still in the game so he could rear end Cunt Boyer.
Yeah.
Dick and a cunt.
That's right.
Oh, right into him.
All right. So we have some Ernest Lee to get to. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online. The March to March Madness starts with college basketball and the NBA and all sorts of actions coming up in March. And for the fans, man, I got a championship rematch coming up. Tyson Fury and Deontay. It's Deontay Wilder, right? It's not Dante. I think it's Deontay. Isn't it DeAndre? DeAndre Wilder? Dante. Is it Dante Wilder? Anyway, we'll figure it out. Anyway, this is our exclusive. It's going to be a crazy heavyweight fight. I mean, these guys are both almost 7 foot tall. Someone should jump over them for the next. Yeah. Oh, Deontay. There we go. Deontay Wilder. Visit our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Bet online to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account with the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. NBA, Nets at 76ers, Rockets at Warriors, Celtics at Lakers. Heavyweight championship rematch is coming up this weekend on the 22nd. Visit BetOnline. Don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's do, you guys have some Ernest.
Couple.
Lee Bigot. Yes. Some people were tweeting me.
That's right.
Some of those. So let's see what you guys got.
Well, we've got a couple of tweets. I'm so sorry I don't have the names of the people who submitted, but two strong ones from Twitter. There's Bill DeWall.
Build the wall.
And
yeah,
there's
good. That's a strong one.
A real strong one. Dwight Power.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the couple, the cousins of Ernest Lee Bigot is Wyatt and Supremacy.
Wyatt.
Wyatt and Sue. Yeah,
it's got it. The key to it is the names have to be a name.
Real names.
Right. And then the last name can be. It can be screwed up, but it still there is somebody out there with the last name Bigot. They probably I knew a guy. I think I went to school with a guy named John Bigot.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Oh, he had a missing finger.
Oh, Jack Bigot.
Kalen, John Bigot, North Hollywood High, like class of 1981. I think he picked one to the house and was playing football my senior
where are
year.
They now?
There's neighbors of Ernest Lee Bigot is Homer and Xenophobic.
That's good.
That's real good.
Yeah. Sorry. What else have you guys got?
I got a couple of neighbors. Mm. Might not be as good, but the one side of his house, there's a Neil Nazi.
Right.
On the other side, Holly Denier.
Mm. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
It's not bad. I received zero prep for this, so I'm looking through my tweets, but apparently Mike McLaughlin sent a really good one. Jen Oside.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
That's good, right?
Also, I know what Jimmy works out at, where Ernest works out at the Krav Maga gym.
Mm.
Good.
There's
Bill DeWall was engaged to D. Porter, according to Matt Carava said that one.
D. Porter. this one's pretty straightforward. It's just Christian Zealot.
Oh, there you go.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Vinny's coach says, Vinny's conk, excuse me, says Owen Lee White.
Oh, yeah. Owen Lee White.
Owen Lee.
Right.
Owen Lee.
I got, let's see, some of these you have to...
They look better written down.
Yeah, yeah, it's a cis white male. these are getting real creative.
These are good.
Let's see, we got... Oh, Kaylin's got one. Racist men.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, good. Racist men. Yeah. I know who he's engaged to. Grace Bader.
Oh, yeah. Good. Let's see. What else we got?
Really filling out the community.
Oh, did we get his drinking buddy, Gino, side?
Drinking buddy.
I like that they have to give them positions in his life as well. All right. Let's see. We have the most expensive 61 ever sold was, how much was it, $11 million?
Actually, 18.4.
When was that sold?
That was sold in February 2015 at the Retromobile auction held by Art Curio.
So you're right. It's probably 20.
It's 2018. If that thing went for 18.4, it's $20 million bucks. Now, look, there's some history and there's some provenance and who owned it, whatever it is. It could go, it could dip as low as $15 million, but it could go up to 23.
I also got a 17,990 sold in 2017.
He fixed a guy's back and then went and picked out a $20 million car.
Damn right.
The guy really liked his back.
Implies, what else did he have in the garage? If he's okay parting with that one. I got a funny one from Mac O'Rourke. Another funny, his sister apparently, Ernest's sister, Donna Whitehood.
Donna Whitehood.
Donna Whitehood.
Oh my God.
That's great. God.
Boy, some of these are just killer. You guys are so much better than I am. I Donna Whitehood. See, that's the whole thing. You have to get a little off the beaten path, you know, and I love that.
Had one that I don't get that you had said you had to reread it three times. Buck Flax. I don't get it.
Buck Flax.
What is Buck Flax?
I think there was more
family attorney.
No. All right. Does anyone? I had to reread Buck Flax three times.
There was more to the tweet.
No.
Oh, it was literally just Buck Flax?
Yeah.
Bigot, family attorney.
Refers to B and the F.
Fuck Flax.
Yep.
Right. That's easy. That's why it took me. No, because I was trying to turn it into one long thing, but then I did the flip. Was John Biggert in? I went to high school with a guy named John Biggert.
Nice looking kid.
Yeah.
A little white.
A little toe-headed.
Yeah.
Had a missing finger.
Oh.
He did this thing. All I remember from John Biggert was playing our last game of the year, playing Van Nuys or Canoga Park, my junior year. They were destroying us. We went to the locker room at halftime. It was 31-3. Coach Fred Nielsen said, well, we're not going to win this one. I'm going to be honest with you. But we got to go out there and we got to play with pride. And Mike Odom was like a running back or something. He got all pissed off and he like stood up and he's like, what do you mean we're not going to win this one? What are you talking shit? We're going to win. And it's like, we're being destroyed by a team that's 7-1 and we're 1-6. You know, we're not. And he's like, yes, we are. He got everyone fired up. And we went back out there and we started like pecking away at their lead. You know, we're going to get respectable. The game was going to end, you know, 37-24, and we're going to not be blown out. And we're down by 17 with not that much time left. And they threw like a screen pass, like they swung out, threw a screen pass, and John picked it off, missing his finger and everything, picked off a screen and just took it to the house. And it was like, good for him. He's a senior. It's his last game.
Handicap.
Defensive end never gets that in high school, you know.
All the great defensive players, Ronnie Lott, John Biggert, guys without a finger, missing a finger.
This would be a big day in his life, and there's 2 minutes left in the game. We're still down 14, but that's cool and good for him, and everyone's kind of celebrating. And they called like holding like after the pick, like on a defensive back that was like 30 yards behind the play, like that thing, like way totally behind the play thing. And it's like, come on, it's the last game of the year and we're down by 3 touchdowns. Yeah, like, let the guy have his play. All right. Let's see. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news right after this.
ACS fans, get it on. We wanted to take a moment to tell you, if you haven't signed up for the Corolla newsletter yet, you're missing out. Every Saturday, you'll get exclusive video content you can't get anywhere else, behind-the-scenes stories, and a new giveaway each and every week. We've already given out an all-expense-paid trip to L.A. to watch the Super Bowl with Ace. And this week, a custom steel Mangria flask. Enter for your chance to win at CorollaNewsletter.com today.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Some Michael Avenatti news. He has been found guilty of trying to extort Nike. A federal jury in New York convicted Avenatti Friday of charges of attempted extortion and honest services fraud. Prosecutors say he was trying to wrangle as much as $25 million from the sportswear maker. He faces up to 42 years in prison. He plans to appeal, of course.
You know, the thing I realize about all the extortion stuff, whether it's like Letterman banging around with the secretary or intern or whatever, or Nike. I think Nike was involved with some maybe shady practices with high school players and stuff like that. The lead story always just goes away.
Yeah. They did something to be extorted for.
Right. I mean, they're still, that's still on the table.
Like blackmail. It's like, well, you did kill your neighbor. I'm trying to get money from you, but you did kill
your
neighbor.
Yeah, I have tapes of you banging the neighbor's wife. Like, why?
After you killed
her. But that's still on the, your wife should still be pissed.
Yes.
Like, why is that not on the table?
That's
like,
right.
In a weird way, if a company does have something that's going to break like this, and all many companies have the thing where it's like the tobacco industry has the thing where nicotine's addictive and they're going to break this thing, or the celebrity has been banging the intern or Nike or whatever, you should have someone try to extort you and just
That'd
pay
a way to get out of it,
get out of jail free card,
right? Because like when Letterman came and did his mea culpa thing with the intern, everyone's like, yeah, I can't believe this guy was trying to extort this guy. Like, the story
Hold
just kind of went away.
Yeah, right, exactly. So for this, Avenatti maintained he was taking the aggressive position at the urging of his client, Gary Franklin, who ran a youth basketball league in L.A. and was angry at Nike. They ended a decade-long sponsorship that provided $72,000 annually and free gear. And he sought $1.5 million for Franklin. And, nobody cares about that.
Right. So Avenatti.
Does Mark have thoughts?
I don't think he's allowed to talk about it.
He's an unindicted co-conspirator.
But he doesn't seem to be worried about it that much, although he doesn't seem to be worried about anything. And then also, like I said, if you ever want to think about how we roll, Avenatti, that guy came on the scene and people were swooning for him, like the ladies from The View and everything like that. And then Richard Jewell was accused of blowing up Atlanta Olympics. Yeah. You know, I mean, I know 80% of it's just based on their head.
On chin.
It's all on chin. That's right.
Chins.
Because Avenatti, like, came around and you went, ooh, look at that guy.
That guy's sharp.
He knows what he's doing.
Look at that cleft.
He's taking it to the man. Yeah.
That's right.
No jowls.
No.
So, I don't know. I'm sure Sonny watched the All-Star game in its entirety. But Sunday night, Chaka Khan sang the national anthem. And according to everybody, she joined the ranks of the worst Star-Spangled Banner renditions ever. It was just 2 years ago that Fergie had that anthem that everyone was making fun of and the kind of the jazz rendition. This says, I watched it, I didn't see much of this, but the report says the players seemed to struggle to contain their laughter. The same was true for Chaka Khan when she had that moment in the spotlight. The NBA, everyone was fidgeting kind of nervously. They're averting her eyes. She really stretched the song out. It was over 3 minutes. I have literally the last minute because, boy, oh, boy, this thing does go on. It's something. Here, I'll show it to you. You see what you
Who
think.
Who else beside Bo Diddley has a song where they're like singing about themselves? Isn't she singing like Chaka Khan?
Everybody, Chaka Khan.
Oh, he's doing the name drop.
Like, I feel for you.
Chaka. Is that must be her singing about her. And then there's like Bo Diddley. He's like, Bo Diddley, Bo Diddley, what did you do? Bo Diddley, Bo Diddley wrote down a song. Bo Diddley, Bo Diddley, writing Bo Diddley.
I mean, technically, I don't think she sang Chaka Khan, but it's a dude, right? Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, everybody, Chaka Khan.
I don't know. Is that her? Is that her song?
Yeah, she's singing in it.
Oh, all right. We'll figure it out. But
It's still her song.
Seems a little grandiose.
Well, speaking of grandiose, here's the end of her national anthem.
It's Jersey.
A lot of runs.
Wow.
And all not over. Hold.
There's three more minutes.
There's more. They start to leave. Hold on. Not done.
Yeah, I think what we don't like about it is it's supposed to be about the country and the song, and then you're third.
Yeah.
This, more about this you. Makes it about you, right?
The Jersey, should be national pride, not personal
the
pride.
The Chaka Khan jersey doesn't help.
Yeah.
No, you're protesting. You're not making it about you.
Oh, is she wearing a Chaka Khan?
It's Khan.
The giant letters in front?
What did it say?
It's a Khan.
Oh,
probably,
it's just
I would
Khan.
Imagine Chaka on the back. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't even notice
it.
That.
Was prominent.
I was probably looking for the Chaka of the Khan part. But
it went on for a while.
Yeah. I don't like it because it makes it about her.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. So hundreds of Americans.
Oh, Khan. Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Still stuck on the Diamond Princess cruise ship in Japan are finally headed back to the U.S. on chartered flights. After nearly 2 weeks of a quarantine on the ship in Yokohama, they traveled to Haneda Airport in Tokyo. They're in a convoy by the police. Before boarding one of the two Boeings, they were screened for coronavirus again. They won't be returning home just yet, according to the Defense Department. Planes carrying about 400 passengers will fly to either Travis Air Force Base in California or Lackland in Texas. And once they're there, they'll be for another 2 week quarantine. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Jen's aunt is, did I get that right? We were talking before the show that she's on the ship right now.
Jen Loach?
Yes.
Oh, who helps out here and does all the
stuff.
Yeah,
and her, I believe, sorry, I should have given a heads up, Kaylin. Sure.
I bet
she'll
love,
be going back to Hong Kong.
I bet
Kong,
love but. Can be found in some of these quarantined areas.
Well,
you know,
it wouldn't,
it's like for you. And,
yeah.
Hey, what am I going to do? No. What am I going to give you that you don't already have?
I've ordered a room service 4 or 5 times. What else am I going to do?
Jen is a family member?
My aunt is on the cruise ship right now.
And you said that they're letting them off in like increments. Like she's still very much on the ship.
She's on the ship with a couple friends. They're getting about 20 minutes a day out of their room is what I heard.
Oh, man.
It's like that's
I would,
it?
It's like I would disembark from the cruise.
20 minutes a day out of the room?
20 minutes a day to go up to the top of the deck and walk around and get some air. Otherwise, they've been confined to their rooms.
Oh, my.
A lot of those inside rooms. No windows.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. Not the time to have a no balcony room.
Where's home for her?
So she's originally from Hong Kong. She did live here in San Diego for a few years, but moved back to Hong Kong. So I believe she did have the option as a U.S. citizen to leave on the plane with all the other citizens, but she didn't want to do that.
Oh, boy. What'd she do? She have a job?
She coughs.
Confused?
That's a good question.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I've always I'm secretly envious whether it's imposed or not. Like, I know people, like Lynette's this way. Like, she'll go, like, we're in Chicago and we're going to stay for an extra couple days. And I go, God.
How do you do that?
Yeah. You do that thing where you stay for an extra couple days.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But the thing where it's like you get stuck somewhere and it's like, is there a bunch of people waiting for you to come back?
Yeah.
Or is everything closed down? Are you good? You don't know what her, if she's employed or there's something she needs to do. You know, young kids waiting back. In Hong Kong or San Diego or any of that stuff?
I think she's saved money over the years and has been very scrappy in her...
She can afford another fortnight on the boat.
Just she's like just traveling and doesn't have to deal with a bunch of, I got to be back at the DMV and get to my cubicle by Monday.
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it's interesting. I heard another guy, I heard on the news the other day, he's fighting to stay on the ship because he said, look, at least we know that if we're quarantined and we're clean, we're clean. But if they start letting us off and, you know, we know we're clean and then they send us to an Air Force base where they're still clearing people, we'll get sick there. So just clear us here for 24 days and let us go home. But they seem that there's like a monkey wrench just that, thrown into the middle of
that
all this.
That dude hates his wife.
Yeah.
Stay on the ship.
You guys, you're being hasty here. We don't
you're like a Snowpiercer situation. We're just going around the globe over
yeah,
and over
Happy
again.
New Year! So, Drew Carey's ex-fiancée, Dr. Amy Harwick, was murdered early Saturday morning in L.A. after her former boyfriend allegedly attacked her, caused her to fall from a third-story balcony, according to TMZ. Sources say the man, his name is Gareth Pursehouse, assaulted Harwick inside her home in the Hollywood Hills. Police found her unresponsive underneath a balcony with injuries consistent with a fall. She was taken to the hospital where she later died. Harwick reportedly had a restraining order against Pursehouse, but it ended 2 weeks ago. He was arrested and charged with murder on Saturday. Now, Drew Carey and Harwick announced their engagement in early 2018, but they broke up a few months later.
It's Jim Carrey's nuts, right?
Drew Carey.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I thought it was
the question. Just answer the question.
Yeah. It was Drew Carey.
Drew Carey.
Oh, okay. Then I'm nuts. The Chaka Khan's name, I feel for you, is was a mistake.
The repetition of Chaka Khan's name in the song I Feel For You apparently was a mistake made by the producer who then just decided to keep it in.
It's breaking news.
Wow.
From a song.
You learn.
25 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad stuff.
Yeah, the thing about restraining orders is they're pretty good if someone's not planning on killing you, but if they're planning on killing you, then it's on.
When you know, there's been things in life when people say you need to get a restraining order. I'm like, it's paper. What's it going to do?
Right. If they show up the apartment with the gun,
yeah,
the paper's not going to stop the bullet.
It will do one thing. It will incite anger in the person that already hates you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, what I know from the law is like crimes of passion. Oftentimes, and you want to talk about sort of the real sort of Me Too sort of thing is I always think about Dominique Dunn, who was Dominic Dunn, the attorney, I think, the guy who had the tassels and the fringe and the suede. You know that guy? It was like CNN attorney, it was like sort of cowboy attorney guy. He was all over the news. He'd always be he was like Mark Garagos 20 years ago. Okay. He'd be chiming in and going, oh, Clinton, they don't have a case against Clinton. No, yeah, that's that guy. Yeah,
okay.
But he's not the fringe guy. Sorry, but he's the known CNN news correspondent attorney guy.
Okay.
His like 25-year-old daughter was choked out and killed in their driveway by her ex-boyfriend who just came over there to murder her. Like she was like, we've talked about this guy before.
Yeah,
he was like, you know, he spent 6 years in jail and then got out and started working as a chef. The Menendez brothers have been in jail for 31 years,
right,
and they're never getting out.
Right.
This guy killed someone in a crime of passion. So it's like...
So it's cool?
Well, I mean, good. Why do we even have crime of passion?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The guy went over to her house and killed her. Yeah. The guy went...
He did something to her, and she died as a result.
Went to her house and killed her.
Yeah.
It was her old boyfriend from, you know, 2 weeks
so what's
earlier.
What's the distinction?
I don't know why we have a separate category. You know, I understand the manslaughter one, the part where you're backing up your driveway and the kid chases the ball across the street. That shouldn't be murder one, but...
He just really loved her.
What inspired the murder? Yeah, it's really misogynistic.
Yeah.
Like, well, she was driving him nuts and he had a boner and, you know.
What are you going to do?
My guess is premeditation, right? He probably didn't go over there. Well, the argument was he didn't go over there to kill her. The argument ensued and blah, blah, blah. Whereas the Menendez has clearly plotted it. I'm not defending it. I'm saying that's probably the...
Brian, that sounds like something a killer would say.
Well,
my restraining order ends in 2 weeks.
He went to her house, you know, and he choked her out in the driveway. Or you can find that story, Max. Max Pettis got a little injuries home today, but he did 60. I think he did like 62 months or something stupid, like just under 6 years.
I'm sure the family thinks they're square now.
Yeah. So anyway, pushed her over the. How old was she?
I don't know.
She had to be youngish.
Yeah,
22.
I can look it up.
Well,
Dominique.
Dominique.
Oh, okay.
Dominique was 22.
Yep.
That's right. The guy did less than 6 years. Anyway.
Well, speaking of crimes, electioneering can be a dangerous gig, especially for a 15-year-old boy from New Hampshire. On Tuesday, 34-year-old Patrick Bradley exited his polling place and saw a boy who was a Trump supporter wearing a MAGA hat. And Bradley allegedly slapped the boy and attempted to trash the tent that was housing some campaign materials. I think we have – I know Kaylin's busy, but there he is. There's the perpetrator, surly bearded man. Bradley is being held on $5,000 bail. He's also wanted for a probation violation, but temps are running high.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah,
you gotta. I mean, you put now. Is it a MAGA hat or a MAGA hat?
MAGA.
I can't figure out which one it is. But either way, you wear one of those outside, you are fucking taking a you're taking a chance these days, big time. But it's also. If you're going to, you know, sort of lump it in with the Klan hood, then you're going to give people the right to do that.
To deck you.
Although, again, as I always kind of talk about, like when they're talking about the whole Miles Garrett thing and did he drop an N-bomb when he was hitting the quarterback over the head with the helmet.
Did the quarterback drop the N-bomb is the question.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Did the quarterback drop it to him? My argument is no, because there was people around him and nobody heard it and nobody recorded it.
Right.
He could have whispered it, but it's rarely a word that's whispered when you're being attacked by a giant black man and you go, hey, N-word, please. So I was thinking
rarely
about...
Rarely if ever.
Rarely. Or how would we know? Because it's always whispered.
It's whispered.
But then they always do that thing where they go back to the studio after they do the interview and they go, well, did he say it or he didn't? Well, he may have said it. And then it's like, no one ever raises their hand and goes, you're still not allowed to hit him on the head with a helmet.
Right.
You're not allowed. It doesn't matter what the guy said.
Yeah. You cannot like the MAGA hat. You probably shouldn't slap the kid.
But you're not allowed to attack the kid.
Yeah. And I imagine being 15 doesn't help.
Right. All right.
Yeah. Lucky him. So this is an interesting picture. It's visual. Maybe we could put it up because these lookalikes are fun. A Meghan Markle lookalike has signed with an agency to score some work as a lookalike for the princess. After being stopped multiple times every day, everyone thinks she's the Duchess while on her job as a flight attendant, according to Fox News.
People have contacts. Like
everyone thinks.
Oh,
handing out pretzels for Southwest.
They ask,
Duchess.
Your Highness.
They ask. She says, passengers always tell me I look like her and say, you're married to a prince. Why are you working as an air hostess?
Right.
Her name's Christine Mathis. She lives in New Jersey. She works for JetBlue. And she claims she stopped all the times, as many as 10 times a day for her resemblance. And, of course, the big goal is to do a Lifetime movie as Meghan Markle.
Right. It's going to be porn. The goal's Lifetime. But I'd say the real bucks are going to come from the porn industry.
I think you're right.
Starring in Crown Jewels.
Right. Yeah, because that's where they're going to back the Brinks truck up. The porn industry, right?
For a lookalike of Meghan Markle, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
It is uncanny, though.
Yeah, she looks just like her. She also kind of just... Isn't everyone just sort of turning into one of the Kardashians? Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of have that thing where they go, in the year 2050, mm-hmm. this is what the average American's going to look like. And it's sort of a beigey, browny, mm-hmm. kind of black-haired, kind of Kardashian.
Stout-ish.
Kind of morphing into this sort of mid-color.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, like if you took...
Ernest doesn't like it.
Oh, no. I'm building a shelter for that. Now, if you took, like, all of the crayons and you just melted them in a pot, they just turn one kind of pasty color, right?
Yeah. Kind of a latte.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who killed her did 6.5 years. He was sentenced to 6.5. He served 3 years.
Oh, he's paid his debt.
He served 3 years. He choked her to death in the driveway, 22-year-old. And then he did three of his 6.5, and then he left.
That's nauseating.
Killed a 22-year-old, prominent 22-year-old girl. All right. Nauseating.
No, okay. That's right. I guess we're all good with that.
Mm-hmm.
Mariah Carey's still playing to packed houses in Las Vegas, but she's not really raking in the money. According to the reports, most of those folks are getting in without paying. So if you want to see Mariah in Vegas, now might be a great time. According to Radar Online, her Butterfly Returns residency shows have not been doing very well. So hotel managers, you know, everyone who can basically pass out free tickets is doing it. A Caesars Palace insider says, quote, every high roller who's flying into Vegas is being given free tickets to the show. They're being handed out at the sports book. They're included in the service room service bill when you get it slipped under your door in the hotel room. Mariah's people say the story's false and that their show is running at a 90% capacity, but they're not saying if those tickets were purchased or comped. Well,
as far as I understand, she gets paid just a flat rate. It would be $10 million to do.
Right. She didn't get a cut of the door.
Yeah, I was going to say. I don't think she's sweating the concession stands.
Right. So they got to fill it.
Right.
They give this to you.
Yeah. I don't know. Is her kind of diva mentality caught up to her? Like, what's up?
I think so.
Like, I think people are just tired of her. Like,
I think Nick Cannon going on Howard Stern a few times has helped that.
Is your personality, like, back in the day, we really didn't know what kind of dude Sinatra was, per se. You'd hear stories. Or, like, John Kennedy. Really didn't know that much about what was going on. Or Martin Luther King or anybody. And then now everyone knows everything about everyone, right?
That's right.
So,
yes. Certainly, much more than then. Yeah, definitely.
Now we're factoring other factors in, like this guy's a good guy.
Yeah,
and he, you know, it's like, hey, there's Jimmy Kimmel, and he's making pancakes with his daughter.
Right.
Oh yeah, I want to check out that guy's show.
Okay.
There's an element of like
him. Sure.
I like that guy, and then there's guys who are suffering in that department.
Right.
So maybe Mariah is suffering a little in that department.
Could be. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, just think about a couple of Me Too's. I mean, you're a couple of light Me Too allegations away from drawing or working a lot or whatever. It's not totally analogous, but what I'm saying is we know much more about you behind the scenes now than we used to. When I was a kid, Bob Hope was just like, that's Bob Hope.
Right.
Like, what do you know about Bob Hope?
USO tour?
He likes Texaco. He likes a golf club. He likes a 9-iron. It was funny.
Well,
like, there's nothing.
That's a perfect example. It was, wasn't it in the old days, not to besmirch the man, if this isn't accurate, but you hear the stories of like, oh, Mr. Carson, you were swerving a little. Would you like a police escort home? No problem.
Yeah. Oh,
and now it's, you know, he'd be on the front page of TMZ if you had a DUI.
Well, on top of that, like, I'm sure Mariah Carey has her fans and legions of them, but like, how much general interest does Mariah Carey generate these days? Like,
it's not Christmas time.
Well, if Christy and I went to Vegas, we would be like, oh, Mariah Carey's playing. Let's go see. Like, no, we're not fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I guess you have to be a little relevant. You got to be nice and relevant.
Right.
Well, because what's her name doesn't suffer from
Celine Dion.
Oh,
right?
Beloved.
Right, but we see her, like, her husband died, and she mourned, and she built a water park in her backyard for her kid, and she loves her kids, and she's chatty and talking to the TMZ buzz and stuff. She's not being all precious and cunty all the time. So, like, maybe Clinty, sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, she's doing it right, because they're both mega hits, can sing their lungs out.
They're comparable.
And don't drop big hits, like, every year.
No.
They're just singing the best, singing the playlist.
Singing the hits.
All right, let me hit LegalZoom. Still early in the year, but if you run a small business, you know, 2020, man, it's going to fly. Use LegalZoom. Do it right now. Make sure you're set up for success in 2020. For 19 years, LegalZoom has helped over 2 million Americans start their businesses by incorporating, forming an LLC, and more. I'll tell you, Mark Garagos says, if you can get it at LegalZoom, get it at LegalZoom. That's what he does. He tells him, go get it. I'm too expensive. Now, you know, you get into trouble, like some of his clients, and you need him. But if you can get it at LegalZoom, get it at LegalZoom. LegalZoom is going to help you grow that business. They understand lease agreements, tax laws, contract reviews. It's all there. LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys and tax professionals can provide the advice and more on all of those subjects. It's the best. It's LegalZoom, right, Dawson?
Go to LegalZoom.com today and enter promo code Adam in the box at checkout for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com, code Adam. LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
All right, what else?
If you're feeling groggy and lethargic, even if you've had a good night's sleep, there's a very good chance your alarm clock is to blame. A new study out of Australia shows that alarms with loud beeps and buzzes can leave you feeling out of it, and that is the sleep inertia can last for up to 4 hours. Researchers at the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology say waking up to music, that helps a lot. That'll help you feel more alert and less jarred and startled and, you know, sort of out of it the rest of the day.
I mean, really think about you don't have to run a sleep lab to really think about being, I was having a dream. I don't used my alarm that often. I just sort of naturally wake up about 8. The house kind of wakes up about 8 or a little before 8. And I just sort of, Phil, who's, you know, that's 110 pounds, trying to crush my spine. He'll get up at 8 and go hustling down, trying to get some food or whatever. So I just wake up. But this morning, I set my alarm. Now, what I got to do is I got to get that 8 sleep thing set up, which I'm working on, which starts warming and cooling like naturally. Right. But I just have my egg timer alarm, and I had it set for 7 this morning because I had to go in and get my hands shot up. And that thing just went off like, and then it was like I got up and I was trying to push buttons on it. It wasn't shutting off. And I felt bad for Lynette. So I like tucked it, went into the bathroom.
Cradled
it. Was like pushing buttons on it. I had a dream that I was gliding in an airplane, that I was literally dead stick, as they call it, power down, just gliding, but it wasn't scary. It was wonderful. I was gliding in this airport, and then next thing you know, someone's sounding an air horn in my ear to start a boat regatta, and I got up and I was agitated.
Yes.
I was like, what's going on? What's the meaning of this? And I was like, of course you'd be agitated, because if somebody just sort of nudged you a little versus throw a bucket of cold water on you.
It's better.
Well, this is somewhere between that.
Yeah.
So, like, we should just start slowly waking up and not have that.
Well,
think about the alarm clocks from your childhood, the sound.
Side note to that, when we started the morning show, I would you know, nap in the afternoon, you know, for like 45 minutes, whatever it was, at my alarm. And Gina mentioned something called sleep inertia. That's a real thing.
Yes.
Like, I would wake up with the alarm after 45 minutes of a nap or whatever and just be groggy for like 20. It could have been brain tumor related, but it was groggy.
Well, that was
20 minutes.
That was one of Teresa Strasser's big pieces of advice to me. I was like, well, Brian, nap. She goes, don't nap.
But find the right length of nap.
The right
I just
window.
Stopped using the alarm, and then I woke up after an hour and 15.
You know? They suggested the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations or The Cure's Close to Me, but I'll tell you, on the heels of this Mariah Carey story, this is my alarm every morning, which is not upset. This is my alarm. Mariah Carey. It's easy to wake up to this.
It's a pleasant song.
Yeah, I got out of bed. I stepped on a flyer, said free Mariah Carey for Vegas. But I was like, I had to go out to Pasadena and get my hand thing. But some guy slid it under the door last
night. And
now
you can go for free.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm not into her. You know, she's not like my thing. But I love this song, and it's very easy to wake up to. So feel free to use it, listeners.
Very pleasant.
Yeah.
What's she singing about?
That you'll always be her baby.
Someone's
going to
be her baby.
Breaking up. Our love will never die.
Unless I push you off a balcony.
That's right.
What year is this from?
God.
That's
90s?
The Daydream album from 1995.
Yeah.
Wow.
God. I'm looking at it.
Amazing. All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, you might know this already, Adam. I don't know. The Porsche Take. Taycan is a new electric sports car that costs anywhere between $100,000 and $185,000, depending on the model.
Yeah.
But for that price, you get a bunch of color choices, 17 in all. You can get black and white and red, but you can also get frozen blue, coffee beige, frozen berry, which happen to all be kind of sparkly for the supercharged sports cars. There's tons of them.
Yeah, you say supercharged, but this is all electric, right? Aren't these all
the Taycan?
Isn't this their first all electric car?
I'm not sure.
I gotta look that up. Also, supercharged. I know you're just saying supercharged, like $1 million smile.
Mm-hmm.
Not actually $1 million worth of veneer.
Million
but,
watts.
I don't think Porsche is probably one of the few companies that does no supercharging and never has and never done supercharging. They've done
is turbo charging different than supercharging?
Oh, Brian, I'm pretending I didn't hear that.
I mean, explain to Gina how supercharging is.
You clearly need to.
Gina, turbos are powered from the exhaust.
Okay.
So the exhaust, it's kind of diabolical. The exhaust pushes out with a great force. You picture it coming out of exhaust pipe, right? The exhaust is used like a river with a turbine, a water like a Hoover Dam or a water wheel.
Churns.
Like picture a mill,
okay,
and a creek going past and turning that wheel, right? So there's a propeller and an impeller. So the gas in a turbo comes out the exhaust pipe, gets routed to the turbo.
Okay,
doesn't go out the back of the car, it goes out to the turbo. The turbo starts spinning. One side of the turbo is a propeller. The other side is an impeller. One starts spinning. There's a shaft that connects it. Starts spinning, sucking in fresh air from the other side, compressing it and smashing it back into the intake to create more combustion and a faster rate. So when people talk about...
You get it now, Gina?
Thank you.
When people talk about turbo lag, they mean that part where the turbo hasn't really spooled up. But then what happens with turbos is once they get going, they really get going because the more that's coming out, the more comes in, and the more that comes in, the more comes out.
Okay.
So if you take a look... So the reason... a Porsche 935 race car that I might own that everyone explains is a super handful that drive is because it has this turbo boost that comes on. And you don't feel it. And some with the Newman turbos, the old turbo cars, those cars don't do anything under 4,000 RPMs. Like, blah, 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 blah. But then once they get on the boost, they go nuts. And then you'd have to grab the gears as fast as you can. Supercharging is basically another compressor. It's all trying to feed air and fuel. It's trying to cram air and fuel into the engine. So, like, so when they're trying to restrict a car, like they're doing a series, they'll go the intake for the air into the engine could be no more than 35 millimeters. So imagine you're choking it off. It's like an athlete running on a treadmill but breathing through a straw, right?
Okay.
Like you couldn't perform
right.
Versus in a wind tunnel or oxygenated room or something. If you can get right. all that air, the more air you can shove into an engine, the faster it's going to go. Supercharger has a belt, and that turns a compressor off the crank,
okay.
and that shoves it in immediately. So you just start the car up, and the belt's
right.
turning. But the belt is also drag on the,
wow.
whereas the turbo is free. It's just exhaust that's pouring out. So one is lag versus drag.
It's not sniff worthy.
So now, of course, the Germans aren't going to do anything that's going to drag off the crank. You know, like a belt.
Right,
you're essentially
okay.
creating a power source, but it's powered off a belt. They're going to do turbos. This must be an all-electric car, right?
Yes.
Taycan. It's all electric, right? And it's
got it's their first all-electric.
It's got big range, and it's really cool, and it's a sweet piece. And Porsche's crazy because they go from 100 to 180 grand because all they do is a la carte shit. You can just buy
customized.
A stock 911 or a base, whatever, and then just keep adding shit on until you get... You can take a stock 911 for, I don't know, $81,000 and tack on 60 grand worth of stuff to the car, like in suede inserts and colored dash.
So you're not
blah, blah, blah.
You're not getting away with actually taking a car home for 100 grand.
Well, not probably one that you'd want if you're in that tax bracket. But
gotcha.
There you go.
Gary says it's pronounced Taycan, like the movies.
Oh, really?
That's what he says.
It's pretty bitchin', and look out, world, because now all these companies, Jag and Audi and Porsche, are getting in the electric world, and now the competition really
because of performance cars now.
Yeah, and also Porsche. Especially is like we have a brand and this thing has to look like it. It's got to feel like it when you get in it. It's got to feel like a Porsche. It can't just feel like a golf cart.
Right.
So, of course, the winner's always the consumer when everyone's out there competing because now you could get a Tesla, but you get out and get a Porsche. Or you can get a Chevy Volt. I think they have a Bolt and a Volt, but either way, they're 29K and have 200 miles range. Like it's just we're all going to be winners. From this coming up. All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, according to a 2017 survey from the National Sleep Foundation, almost one in four married couples sleep in separate beds.
One in four.
Jill Lankler, she's a New York clinical psychologist and life coach, says while that number seems high, given the stigma that may still exist around it, she's seen lots of couples very open to it.
How would I know that?
Oh, yeah. My mom is a pioneer.
For going to your separate bed at night is anything from snoring to separate work schedules, active sleepers like, you know, restless leg people and talkers. And it's just not worth it after how many years?
Yeah, my mom had the mattress on the floor and then John had the sofa that he slept on.
Well, you should know this better than anyone.
In the high life.
Yeah. Everyone always said, why does your mom and your stepdad have separate rooms? I'd go, are you fucking nuts?
I'm going near there.
I'm not going near that.
Let Ray
ask. Kidding? Yeah, Ray will ask. I mean, again, I already found out that they met in a Primal Scream encounter group, yeah, which is way
too far.
It was on target, but way more than I wanted to know with those two.
No.
And the separate room thing, who the? No way. No. But boy, did they. The mattress on the floor sucks, and the sofa bed thing that doesn't fold out the sofa bed, you just pull the big weird trapezoidal pillow off it. It's like a day bed.
Oh, God.
What are those things called?
Trundle bed?
Yeah, like a
trundle. Well, that's a bed under a bed.
That's the one that comes out underneath.
No, there's a version of this. If you kind of look, okay, there was this version of this. I think they had it in, I think the Brady Bunch had one of these in their family room where they'd have that meeting, you know, where Alice Brady would serve coffee. Thank you, Alice. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Brady.
Top you off, Mrs. Brady?
My friend had one, too. It was like they had a big square end table, big wide square end table, and one bed would like slide under it. But it was a bed. It was a sofa, but it was just like a single bed. It had one big connected pillow in the back. And you just take the pillow off, and now it became a bed, de facto bed.
Gross. That's some sad
super
shit.
Uncomfortable and super sad. And then, as I've always said, the weirdness of people sitting on your bed and watching TV, that's the only TV was in the room, was in John's room. So
very intimate.
We're watching TV. Yeah. We're all sitting on his bed, like eating frozen dinners and stuff.
Yeah, that's dorm room shit.
Watching Maude. And then at some point, we'd all clear out, and he'd go to bed on the thing with the Salisbury steak remnants on it.
I was going
to
say, he allowed this?
I don't know. He had a lot of rules.
Yeah. Wasn't straight.
We're really fast and loose in the bed department at the Corolla house. Max Bat, remind me to revisit the, not Max Bat, sorry. Kaylin, remind me to revisit. I was talking about from the book that distance your name gets from you and how successful you are. I got a sweet spot for mattress heights as well.
I think that was in 50 years, right?
Yeah, I think so, which is my sister right next to the room my mom slept on the floor on. Slept in a bunk bed,
like a loft thing
that my grandfather made, because her room was like 7 foot by 7 foot. And he literally had to build like a put a 4x4
like
post
blocks.
Down, a piece of plywood, just to get her off the ground.
More
and I had that one of my small houses I lived in, and I had other people. There is a sweet spot height for being a winner, and it ain't on the floor and it ain't on the ceiling. There's a spot, it's like 28 inches or something.
Because
we all had those little shitty lower beds when you're a kid. Yep. And then at some point, you get that sweet high one where you get the little steps so your dog, Muffy, can join you up there.
Little pillow top.
But there's a sweet spot for height.
That's true.
You know what fits in with that theory? Murphy beds.
Yeah.
You got a Murphy bed, you're not doing well.
No, you're down low. The trundle, you're down low.
Yep.
You're pretty low on the fold convertible sofa.
Futons
are tough.
Too low. Mm. Too low, or then there's bunk bed. Too high. Like, that is bad. That is bad. I had bunk beds in my apartment with my buddy Chris. Like, we had his old bunk beds in there. Like, that's bad. Tough to get laid, but bad. All right. You bringing it home?
That's right. We'll do it right now. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Hey, and work, please. Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Yeah, circle that part. We'll see if we'll get into it tomorrow. Harrelson's Own. They spent over a year formulating the best quality CBD. Works quickly, tastes good, has a superior absorption method. It's completely organic, and it's at a fair price. Harrelson's Own is a mint and vanilla oral spray formulated to provide full mind and body benefits that helps you feel a little more calm, stable, focused, collected, all the stuff you want to feel in this crazy tornado of emotions that are going on out there these days. Their nano-infused technology makes it completely water-soluble, so your body absorbs it immediately. You feel it just a couple of minutes, not an hour. And they've got a fun, informative video for you to learn all about the hard work they put into making this superior product, and you should check it out. Right, Dawson?
Go to harrelsonzone.com/Adam today, and they'll include free shipping. That's harrelsonzone.com/Adam.
Hey, Uppity is up on iTunes, by the way, as well, if people want to check it out and give it a rating over there, or go to Chassy and Chassy and check that out. Cleveland, Hilarity's coming up February 27th, and then Helium, Indianapolis, 28th and 29th. We'll be doing stand-up. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the info you want to find, and all the books and all the movies and all the everything. I'm your emotional support animal. Mike Lynch is here today. We're very proud of this one. You can pre-order it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon and all that good stuff. And the newsletter as well, CorollaNewsletter.com. And thank you, Gina. Thank you, Brian. Robbie Robertson from the band is next. You don't have to pick up horse shit.
The Ace Man sits down with Robbie Robertson. Plus, Dave Damashek is here for Good Sports. That's in part two of the Adam Carolla Show.